Hello, everybody. You're listening to That's a Freebie. Sit back, relax. Actually, I'll let the other guy do it.
Sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
As usual, I'm going to open up with an Ask a Freebie question. This week's question comes from Malachi. What's your favourite emoji? That's a good question. I don't think I have a favourite emoji. Well, obviously I have the favourite emoji that everybody has, which is the poop emoji. That is clearly the best emoji. But I don't have a favourite. I don't have one that I particularly like to use a lot. However, I've looked through my recent emojis, or my most used, I think it's actually called, and it does seem to be the rolling around on the floor laughing. I didn't quite realise I used it so much, but apparently I do. If you would like to ask a question to open up the show, the best way to do that is to visit thatsafreebie.com. Or you can use the Ask a Freebie hashtag on any social media. I will do my best to find it. I do search fairly regularly, so yeah, do that. I thought I would open the show this week with a little bit of an apology for last week's episode. I had a lot of trouble recording last week's episode. I don't even know if it made it into the episode, but I was having problems with my internet connection last week, and the software that I used to record the podcast requires an internet connection. So it just kept cutting off, and I recorded an entire episode and then realised it had only recorded the first 20 seconds of it. And I was a little bit miffed, to say the very least. So I went back and I recorded what I could in segments just in case it kept going down. And it did. I had to record some of the things many, many times. So I put an episode together of everything that I had. And I hope it worked. If you didn't notice, fantastic. But there were a few things missing from the episode that are usually there. There were things I recorded that I just couldn't use, and I just gave up. It was getting frustrating. I only have so much time in the day, and it took me 2 full days to put together what I'd managed to put together. So I just gave up in the end. In response to that, though, I did. Well, actually, I did this before I had this problem, but it, because it will combat a problem I've been having for a while. Those of you watching the video may notice that I'm wearing some shiny new in-ear monitors. And those monitors allow me to hear the sound coming out of my microphone a little bit better. So hopefully the audio problems that I've been having as well for the last few weeks will be solved, because I'll be able to tell the audio levels I can hear it now. Normally can't hear my microphone when I'm recording because, well, obviously I have hearing problems. The headphones that I was using just weren't sufficient. But I've bought these monitors, and oh my word, are they loud. I'm really, really surprised. I can hear more through these than I can hear using my hearing aids, which is bonkers. If I could just walk around with the Shure MV7 and these monitors in all the time, I wouldn't have any hearing problems. It's amazing. But of course, it doesn't work that way, does it? And I suppose that would make everything really, really loud as well, and not just the things that I need to hear. So yeah, hopefully the sound will start improving and everything else will start improving. Although this week I have noticed my camera keeps twisting. I don't know why it's doing that. Well, actually, I do know why it's doing that. It's doing that because I took the case off my phone, because I use my phone with continuity camera, and I think the magnet that holds it to the back of my computer is just not strong enough to hold it in place with the wiring, so it keeps twisting ever so slightly. So those of you watching the video will get to see me keep straightening it up, which is great. This week, I met somebody. Hang on, no, that sounds wrong. I didn't meet somebody. I encountered somebody in the toilets in a local shopping mall. That sounds really bad, doesn't it? Let me start again. I'd had my breakfast. I needed the toilet. I was really early to go into work, and I didn't want to go in there and sit there. So I thought to myself, you know what? I'll go to the bathroom in the food court of the shopping mall. So I did that. As I walked through the door, there's a guy stood in the middle of the room, completely naked. This is still not sounding very good, actually, is it, now that I think about it? So he's stood there completely naked. There are other people in there, fortunately. Or is that fortunate? Yeah, it's fortunate. All thinking, you could see it in their eyes, like, this is weird, what's going on? So I did a split second, I stopped, I looked, and I thought, I just need to turn around and leave. But then at the same time, I was bursting. Like, I don't think I could have made it to the next nearest bathroom. So what I ended up having to do is just ignore it, basically. I walked past, I went to the toilet, I did my thing. And then, the whole time I was thinking, well, this guy's got something going on, so I just, you know, I need to be careful. But at the same time, I reckon I could have taken him if need be. And what I started to realise is he was surrounded by bags from JD Sports that had all new clothes in them. He had about 4 boxes of new trainers. And he was just casually changing into the clothes that he'd just bought, but then taking them off again and trying new ones. So it was almost like he was just trying them all on. I think the weirdest thing he did, like, other than being stood completely naked, and I do mean completely naked, he didn't have any underwear on or anything. Other than being stood completely naked in there, the weirdest thing that he did is he needed to put deodorants on at one point, and he went into a cubicle to do it. So he wanted privacy to put deodorant on, but not to get changed. It was really, really strange. Now, In my head, I've said that he's probably done that because he didn't want to spray everybody with the deodorant. And I think that was really respectful of him. So thank you for not gassing us with your deodorant. Not quite so thank you for showing us your bare ass. I do have quite a bit of follow-up this week. As, you know, regular listeners will know, we've been having an ongoing saga with my daughter's hearing appointments, where they tell her she needs hearing aids. She goes back a few days later and they say, nah, you don't need them now, and then don't give them. So if you remember, the last time we spoke about this, we were talking about that they told her she needed hearing aids and that they'll have them ready for her at her next appointment. All she'll need to do is go and have a test and they will fit the hearing aid. Guess what happened? Yep, as you would suspect, they didn't fit a hearing aid. They did a test and said, oh no, you're fine. You're just on the cusp of needing it, so we'll not give it you this time. Come back in a few months again. So, yep, we're back to stage one. Needless to say, she was a little bit upset about this. It sort of offset her for the whole day, really. But hey, she's learnt to deal with it now because it's pretty much all that ever happens to her. She did also in that same week have an appointment with an ADHD specialist where they essentially interviewed her and asked her questions about her life and how she manages day-to-day, going through certain tasks, falling asleep at night, managing her emotions, all that kind of stuff. So this was like the big conversation where a consultant that gathered as much information from her as possible. Then that information has been sent on to a doctor. So we should hopefully get a diagnosis of some kind within the next few weeks, really. I'll give you an update when we know more there. She also, a big week for her this week. She has had a few big weeks lately, actually. She saw an educational psychologist, which is something she's done many times before. She sees him sort of but maybe once a year, it seems to be. Although I think it's been 2 years since he last saw her this time. And he's pointed out all the same things. Basically, the gist of it is that intellectually, she is absolutely fine. She can, she knows everything that she should know. She struggles to get everything down on paper. And she just has no confidence in herself when it comes to things like reading. So as much as she can do it, she thinks she can't do it. So doesn't really put the effort in that she needs to. And she's still got memory issues as well. So she struggles with short-term memory. So you give her a list of instructions and she's only going to be able to remember the first one or the last one. More often than not, it's the last one. She won't remember the little bits in between. I've spoken about that before. That's been like an ongoing problem for her. Time will tell with that one as well. And it was also Parents' Evening this week. They both as always, to be honest, did really, really well. Improvements in both areas. The boy in particular has done amazing. He has been having a bit of difficulty with dyslexia and with reading and writing. But the interventions that they put in at the start of the year seem to have paid off. He's caught up on everything now, and he's back doing the same work as the rest of the class, which is great. So beautiful improvements there. Just a quick note to let you know that the school holidays are coming up for me. Now, interestingly, because I'm about 2 weeks ahead on the recording of this podcast, I am probably 2 weeks in the future right now, sat recording an episode of this very podcast talking about what happened during the school holidays. Is that for mind bending? Yep. So I don't know what I'll be saying. Hopefully it was great. Here's me saying, I hope we have a good 2 weeks school holidays. I am off work for the full 2 weeks. Well, actually, that's not entirely accurate. Apart from one day, I think I'm in work on a Saturday in between, the middle Saturday, because, well, like an idiot, I didn't book it off. I wasn't really thinking about it at the time. So, give you an update on that in a couple of weeks. Just thought it was worth letting you know, just in case I don't get to record an episode and I end up missing an episode. But I don't think that'll happen. It's not happened to me yet. And like I say, I am 2 weeks ahead. So if anything, it's only going to be a case of I'll be recording the episode the same week that I'm releasing it, which is not a bad thing at all. I actually mentioned this in the last episode I recorded, but like I said, it didn't record very well, and it's something that has bugged me so much that I've decided to actually bring it back up. I should have done it as a gripe of the week, actually, but I have another gripe of the week this week, and I don't want to get rid of that one. And then I considered having two, and then I was like, nah, you know what? I'll just throw it in with the regular this week stuff. So I've been rewatching the X-Men movies. You might remember them from the early 2000s. And basically, they're exactly as I remember them to a degree. The third one is terrible. I always watch the third one and think, it was all right. You know, it wasn't that bad. And then when I really start thinking about it and sort of analysing it in my mind, I'm like, nope. No, it was really, really bad. But there is something that really, really bugs me in the second one, and it's such bad writing. Like, I think I've come up with the reason why they did it, but it's honestly, and it's right at the very start as well, which it just makes me want to cringe when I watch it, and it ruins the whole film for me. So at the end of the first X-Men movie, Professor X says to Wolverine, all of your questions will be answered at, I think it's Alkali Lake. I think it's called Alkali. You go to Alkali Lake, and all of your questions will be answered because that's, you know, where you came from. And he's like, awesome, thanks. Steals a motorbike, drives away into the sunset towards Canada. At the start of this movie, like the very, very start, it shows him driving along on his bike. He pulls over, he gets to the location. He walks up to this huge facility, like there is something there. There's a facility, there's a doorway. He walks up to the doorway, peers in the doorway, and then goes, nah, nothing here. Oh, well. And just drives back, right? He just drives back, and he gets back and he says, Professor, you were wrong. You told me that I had to go to Alkali Lake and everything would be fine. That was my Hugh Jackman voice, by the way, just in case you were wondering. And he goes, oh, no, it's definitely something there, mate, right? And then the rest of the movie is set in that location. And Professor X is like, did you look downstairs? He's like, what? He's like, yeah. Did you actually walk through the door and then look downstairs? It's an underground facility. Was that not obvious? And it turns out that Wolverine just went up to the doorway. It's like it's like an Amazon delivery driver. He knocked on the door and ran off. Like, what was that about? Let's do a bit of what goo talking about. First of all, I'll answer the question. Yes, I did. I did go to the gym this week, but I'm going to come back to that later. So the first thing I wanted to mention in this section is, did you all hear about the Willy Wonka chocolate factory fiasco thing with the, you know, in Scotland, in Glasgow? I'm sure you did. I don't need to explain it, but I will very briefly. There was basically a Willy Wonka-themed experience that people went to, and it turned out to be an absolute shambles. There was nothing there. Actors had been hired that were given scripts that were generated by AI, and they were terrible, and people didn't even know what they were supposed to be doing. The kids were given a jelly bean, like a single jelly bean, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. If you don't know about it, then do go and look it up, because it's, well, it's interesting. And a few of the actors who were hired there, I've noticed, have started popping up on Cameo, doing shout-outs to people and things like that. So, I mean, fortunately, people are actually able to sort of earn some money from it that they were expecting to earn from the experience, because it's not the actor's fault, it's the organizer's fault who created the situation. So, yeah, anyway, the reason I bring this up is, well, I'm just going to read the headline from New York Magazine, because it sums it up really, really well. Glasgow's Willy Wonka flop is getting the musical treatment. Yep, that's right. So I'm not going to read this entire article, but here's the start of it, right? When life gives you meth lab memes, make a musical. It's been less than a month since Glasgow's Willy Wonka immersive experience went viral for being so underwhelming that children were left in tears, and some parents called the police. Now, the fiasco involving rationed jelly beans and AI-generated scripts for actors is being adapted into Willy Fest, a musical parody. I don't think I need to stop. I don't think I need to go on, really. Yep, they're apparently making a musical on the whole situation, and they actually point out in the article that it is going to have a proper budget and everything. So, yeah, not too sure how that's going to go. I thought it was just worth pointing out that that whole situation just keeps getting worse. Now, I thought because this episode is going to be going out, well, just before April Fool's Day, I thought it would be good to have a look at a few articles on some of the best April Fool's Day jokes. And I actually found a few articles about April Fool's Day jokes in history. And I thought I'd go through them with you because some of them are quite humorous. So April Fool's Day dates back over 400 years. It's even older than Thanksgiving, which means there have been lots of chances for good mischief. And here's a history of the day. In 1582, Fool's Gold. In 1582, Pope Gregory XIII introduced the Gregorian calendar, moving the start of a new year to January from April. Those who kept celebrating the old new year were ridiculed as April Fools, which is what led to the unofficial holiday, historians suggest. In 1698, a wild start, the first documented April Fool's prank took place in London. A clever Brit announced a special event at the Tower of London. See the lions washed. No such public cleansing of jungle cats was planned, but the announcement drew a crowd. Wow. In 1796, new jokes in the New World. The earliest recorded American April Fool's prank took place in Middleton, Connecticut, where a handbill promised a marketplace for fool's coats. It said sellers could bring coats of various colours, yellow to predominate, with lots of tin bells and tassels. In 1974, that's a big jump, 1974, an explosive prank. When residents of Sitka, Alaska, awoke to see smoke rising from Mount Edgecombe, officials responded to a possible volcanic eruption, but really a group of people had just piled hundreds of tires and greasy rags in the crater and set them on fire and spray painted April Fools in the snow. Wow, that's a bit excessive, really. In 1980, the meaning of hat hair. The magazine of the British Army reported that its guards' fur helmets needed trimming because the bear pellets were so thick that their hair continued to grow. I said pellets, then. Bear pelts were so thick that their hair continued to grow. The London Daily Express reprinted the prank story as fact. My word. Perhaps it suggested the bear hormone could be a baldness cure. Wow. What if that was one of the first ever fake news? No, I'm pretty sure fake news was around way before 1980. 1983, some meta mischief. When an Associated Press reporter asked Boston University history professor Joseph Boskin about the origins of April Fool's Day, he jokingly cited a fictitious King Kugel, the name inspired by a noodle dish, who was shocked that the reporter had run the gag as a fact. 1985, a false pitch. A pitcher who can hurl a baseball 168 miles per hour. What? That's what writer George Plimpton claimed about supposed New York Mets prospect Sid Finch in Sports Illustrated. Fans fell for the gag, which some called the greatest April Fool's prank in sports history. And in 2001, a groundbreaking hoax. For earth-shattering impact, a few pranksters could beat the British DJs, who said a replica Titanic could be seen from the cliffs of Beachy Head in East Sussex. Crowds flocked to the view and made up shape, and part of the fragile cliffs cracked and then later crumbled. Oh wow! And then, just as a little bonus, here's some of the corporate April Fool's Day pranks we've seen over the years. In 1998, Burger King took out a large, full-paid ad in USA Today, explaining that Southpaws could order a lefty Whopper with condiments rotated 180 degrees, creating a left-handed taste. Wow. In 2015, America has spoken, and we at Cottonelle have listened, read an announcement for toilet paper for lefties. In 2019, Audi Australia announced the B-tron, a vehicle that runs on honey, a sustainable, naturally acquired fuel harvested from rubina flowers in Bavaria. The car was to include an onboard toaster for sweet morning treats. In 2019, McDonald's in Australia announced the pickle burger, juicy flavoursome pickles layered between melted cheese, ketchup and sauce, and toasted sesame buns. And in 2023, KLM Royal Dutch Airlines unveiled a recline alert system, saying, "We've developed a sound effect that notifies passengers when the seat in front of them reclines." I mean, that actually would be a good idea. I don't know why they didn't follow through with that. In this week's AI question of the week, which was actually generated this week by Claude 3, as opposed to the usual ChatGPT-4. I just thought I'd give something else a try for a change. And Claude 3 came up with, what's the most interesting job you've ever had? I think my most interesting job was working in a spinning mill. I did several jobs inside of said spinning mill, but one of them was a job called card minding. This is something you can probably look up online. I'll try and... if I remember, I will pop a few links in the description to take you to maybe a Wikipedia article on it and some pictures. It's a massive machine, essentially, that basically cuts up a load of like raw material, weaves it together in a fine web, and then splits it off into bobbins that are then taken to a different machine, and they are spun into a tightly defined... like material. Essentially, they make wool out of it, and then that wool is then used to make carpets. Yeah, it was actually a really interesting job. It was a hard job. It was tiring. It was long hours, but it was actually really interesting seeing all the different components of making essentially a carpet, because that's what we did. We made a carpet, although technically we made the yarn to make the carpet. All right, so here it is. This week's gripe of the week is actually at the gym, which is why I said earlier we'll get back to the gym. So I was there a couple of days ago, and the only way I could describe it is there was an absolute ass in there. I'm on a machine, just essentially just lifting weights. It was working on my arms, and he gets on the machine at the side of me, and instead of just, you know, being a sensible, normal person, he decided that what he would do is he would basically put the weight quite high, and I don't even know how to describe it in words. I could show you on the video, but basically he just pumps the handle up and down really, really fast, slamming the weights up and down on top of one another over and over again. So it's just going bang, 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 bang. The whole gym at this point stops and looks at him, thinking that he was in some sort of trouble. But no, and he's using the machine that's designed to be used for two hands with one hand. He's trying to show off, because I get the feeling his entire like personality was about showing off. And what he'd do then, he jumped up out of the chair and he'd go, whoa, really, really loud. And then, believe it or not, he started dancing around. And I don't mean, like, you know, just a little bit of a bop because he was listening to music. He was listening to music, but he was full-on dancing around, like, doing a proper dance routine around the gym. He kept tripping over people. He kept standing on people's stuff. He was really loud because he was obviously listening to really loud music. I mean, you know what? You work out however you want. That's fine. But don't interrupt others. Oh, it was awful. Like, I could tell that everybody was getting very, very annoyed. I don't know what happened as well, but at one point, a guy just walked up to him, tapped him on the shoulder, he took his headphones off, he said something in his ear, and then he went home. So I could only imagine that he said, calm it down, in a nice way, obviously. But yeah, he disappeared then. He went into the changing room and was never seen again. So one would assume that the guy said, you're being an ass. So for the pick of the week this week, I'm going to point to some more puzzles. Now, I know I did the movie scene one, which actually I got right first scene this morning, first frame even this morning. So quite happy with that one. But there are a few puzzles that I play each day. I do I quite enjoy the occasional word puzzle. And these ones in particular I do enjoy. I'm not going to play the puzzle now because it's quite hard to show you, really, but I will leave a link to this in the show notes because it's probably the easiest way to point you towards it, really. But there's someone I listen to on a few podcasts. It's called Lex Friedman, and it's not the Lex Friedman who does all the AI talk and everything. It is a different guy, and it really irritates him that he's got the same name as him. So this is the nice Lex Friedman. And he basically makes puzzles, and they all have a little bit of a, well, actually, they don't all but one have a, like, play on his name, like, there's collections, and there's lexicogs, and there's by a vowel. They're basically all word games. Collections, you have to work out the, there's essentially a grid of words, and you have to work out, like, which groups of four belong together in some way, shape, or form. It makes sense when you see it. It's actually based on the New York Times puzzle connections. It's the same thing to a degree. So, they're really good. I'll leave a link. I do like a good puzzle. And these are always good ones to do because they're fairly similar each day in the way they work. So it means that you start to get a feel to how they work. And you feel quite good when you work out like how his brain's worked when he's made this particular puzzle. So, yeah, do check them out. I'll leave a link in the description. The reason why I say to check them out now and I haven't done them earlier is because he's actually just started a subscription. And he's been making these for free for years. And he's made loads of them. So I would say, if you can, just throw a bit of money his way. It's really good. People should be paid for the work they do. And it's very entertaining. I use it every day. So I subscribed immediately. Worth having a look at. So, quite recently, I thought it'd be funny to play a little trick. So I switched over labels on the spice rack. My wife hasn't actually realised yet, but the time is cooming.